Good morning. Today, it's going to be Ephesians 4, 17 through 25. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that we could come on this beautiful Sunday, and please help Mr. Thrasher as he comes up to speak, and let us hear what he has to say and gain wisdom and understanding from it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you very much, and delight to be with you today, and Lord willing, next week. Last time I was here, we asked you to pray. We have traveled these last 2 weeks, and just thank you so much for God sustaining us, and it was a delightful time there, speaking to missionaries in Florida, and then last week traveling to Virginia for the first time I've ever visited Liberty University, but this National Day of Collegiate Prayer, always the last Thursday of February, that was where it was hosted. And then also around 3 days revival roundtable with about 100 other people and it was learned a lot of special things, and God was doing some wonderful things at Liberty. I'd never been to Liberty, but in this season, I do thank God, and thank God for what he's doing among the Gen Zers, as they It is very special. There was 8,000 ones there, and that event was simulcast to across this nation and across the world. And so it was very, very special. And so however God wants us to be involved in that, that was the, but it was extremely special. And the there is an event which I haven't heard a lot about, but it's called GAP 26, the Great American Prayer. It's from March 1 to 4, so it starts tonight. It's a gathering in, I believe, Tennessee may be the arena they're using or whatever, but will also be streamlined across our nation, just a prayer effort in regard of our 250th anniversary. The spearhead of it. Now, I plan to tune in from 7 to 9 tonight, streaming it. But I don't know Hank Irwin. He's the father of the Irwin brothers, who produced some very, very good. I knew him in Dallas, and God has greatly used him. And he is the one who also spearheaded with basically no budget, but he organized a prayer gathering in all 50 states of the Union the day before the last presidential election. And they would, at a certain time, and so they just went from state to state with that coalition praying, in a sense, for this last election. He, like many of us, saw how strategic that was. And so we live in that same strategic time. So that was a special thing to participate in, and we held our own gathering, and some of you went to that gathering in regard to that night before the last election. But and so I do trust him, so I don't know. I recommend something I don't know a lot about, but I thank God for every effort to cry out to God in an amazing time in which we live. But God is pouring out his spirit of prayer among the young generation. They have been more receptive to that. You know, in their desperation and struggling with mental health and all the rest, it has pushed large masses of them to the Lord. In past generations, it's sort of pushed some way they've dealt with it. Let's just deconstruct our faith. It must not work. But here there's a mass movement toward God. And one event saying, you know, it perhaps they are receiving, you know, God says in Ezekiel, I'll pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication. They are receiving that probably in a way it's not being received by the church at large. And so let's ask God to work in our lives. And I'm thrilled to be a part of this fellowship and to continue now with what I'm supposed to do here in the book of Ephesians. But verses 17 to 24, which we went over last time I was with you, the title of the message, we're not to live the life we used to live because we're not the people we used to be, not the person we used to be. Because of Christ's death, you have been, when a person trusts Christ, they've been freed. The words of Romans 6, you're no longer a slave of sin. A slave of sin means being a slave to have to getting your own way. No one has to teach a baby born that they want their own way. But it's a miracle to be freed from that. Now, there is still a battle going on in your life, as long until we get to glory. But you can be a winner in that battle. He says, don't keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body, but present yourselves to God as was alive from the dead. We can present ourselves, the totality of ourselves, to God. And God can use every ounce of our being. He will not waste anything making it available to the Lord and letting Him continually renew your mind and give you a fresh filling of the Spirit. You can live a life of victory in Him. Now, from this point, from Ephesians to the rest, He will go over specific ways that new life is to look. And we look at just one verse today, and it's to be a life of truthfulness. He tells us to what? The negative command is lay aside, make a break with all falsehood. Make a break with all falsehood. Scripture says, John 8:44, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. There's no truth in him. Book of Revelation says that those who love and practice lying are in the lake of fire, judgment. It's for those who lie and practice lying. He says, lay aside falsehood, but speak truth. I appreciate that prayer, Psalm 51:6. God, make me to know truth in my innermost being. We all battle deceit. Each, because we're members, each with the other. You see, intimacy is based on trust. And trust is built on truthfulness. The body of Christ represents Jesus. And Jesus is this, what? I am the truth, unlike the one who's the father of lies. So you see, when we live a life of less than truth, we dishonor Christ. And we hinder intimacy with the body of Christ. Now, the message is entitled, How Does Building Truth in Us? Scripture says, as we behold His glory, we are changed from glory to glory. First step is to behold God, who is absolutely truthful and absolutely faithful. Scripture says, God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. Hebrews 6:18. God cannot lie. And therefore, we read, Prophet Jeremiah says, blessed is he who does not put his ultimate trust in man, but trust in God. Jeremiah 17:5-7. Blessed is he who does not trust in man. Man can be unfaithful and untruthful. Out of fear strikes us. Some outside influence, maybe no longer desire to be truthful. But God says what? He's the one, the only the one that can keep the promise. Look, if you put your ultimate trust in me, you will never be ultimately disappointed. That's an incredible promise. You can't give that promise to yourself. Romans 9:33. He who trusts in me will never... Blessed is he who trusts in God. His words, Old Testament, New Testament, Joshua 21:45, says, not one word of his promises had failed. Joshua 21:25, make sure I accurately quote it. Not one of his good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Not one word of his promise. Hebrews 10:23, he who has promised is faithful. He says the same thing. Hebrews 10:23. God is absolutely faithful. So he says, put all your confidence in him. Put all your confidence in him. Now, Scripture even gives us more guidance than that. He says, there are particular instances that God says, these are opportunities each day to trust a truthful and faithful God. I'll give you 8 such opportunities to trust this faithful. First opportunity is when? At the beginning of each day. At the beginning of each day. The most well-known verse in the Bible, probably on the faithfulness of God, is Lamentations 3:23. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's the basis of the hymn that was written. Great is his faithfulness. At the beginning of each day. God wants that filling your mind at the beginning of each day. You probably heard me say that many a strong man are pinned by the sheets every morning. Because it's more than just a physical thing of making it hard to get up. It's what? It's something you unconsciously don't want to face. But when you say, okay, you know what? I'm running into the faithfulness of God. He's going to be going before me. That's what I want you, that in your mind when you take that first step on the floor. Great is his faithfulness. Beginning of each day. In the morning, you'll hear my prayer. I'll make my prayer known to you, Psalm 5:3. You'll hear my voice. God is the God who gives encouragement and endurance. Maybe you don't know where it's coming from, but you look to him at the beginning of each day. Here's another time to look to the faithfulness of God. At the end of each day. Psalm 92:2. Think about his loving kindness in the morning, but his faithfulness at night. It's always worth reviewing a day. Only one of the 10 lepers stopped to give thanks. As you look back at the day, going over it, and sure we're in my spiritual dullness, I won't recognize all of God's faithful hand, but I can recognize some of it. Reviewing that day, thanking him at the beginning of a day, at the end of his day. Another special time to look at his faithfulness is during times of trials and temptations. During times of trials and temptations. You know the familiar 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is his common demand. That's a common experience. We will be tempted. Not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. But then the next verse in that 1 Corinthians 10:13, or the next phrase, but God is faithful. Will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, and with the temptation will give you strength that you may be able to endure it. So during trials and temptation is a time to look. Look to him in that trial to give you hope. To give you hope. The devil will throw those fiery darts of despair at you. Say, Lord, I don't know what the solution is, but God, I'll look to you. Give you hope. Look to the Lord to prepare you for what's ahead. That's it. God knows how to prepare you for what's ahead. Sometimes he prepares you by not telling you what's ahead. You might misunderstand it. But he knows how to prepare you for what's ahead. God would never want you living with dread. Deliver me from the dread of the enemy. That's one way the devil tries to grab a hold of you. Get you dreading something. Sometimes the dreading of something is worse than the experience of it. So, look to the Lord to prepare you. God, I just know you'll prepare me for what's ahead. I thank you. That means so much to me that I believe God will never put on me beyond what I can handle as I look to him. Because he promises that. You see, it's not that any of us are that strong. At this moment, if God were not shielding me, and the same can be said of you, there'd be temptations we couldn't handle. But praise God, he shields me from what I can handle as I look to him. It's a dangerous thing to rebel against him. You rebel against him, you can open yourself up to destructive temptations that you can't handle. Look to him during that trial. And right in the midst of that trial, you can experience his faithfulness. Come boldly, come with freedom to that throne of grace that you might receive mercy and find help, grace in that time of need. Cry out to him in honesty. If you're struggling, I probably told you, because this person's given me permission to share. I've never shared his name, but you've heard me tell this story. It was right before a class was about to start, and this student started just spontaneously sharing. He said, I was struggling with an ungodly habit in my life, asking God to deliver me from that ungodly habit. But you know what? I still had that ungodly habit. God wasn't answering my prayer. And then a discerning, loving man of God looked me right in the eyes with great love, and he says, why are you asking God to deliver you from that ungodly habit? You love that ungodly habit. He said, that was the absolute truth. And the most humbling thing he said, one of the most humbling things I've ever did is I came to God and said, God, I'm really ashamed of this, but I love this ungodly habit. I really don't want you to deliver me from it. He also said, that was the beginning of being delivered from the ungodly habit. It's that testimony that really helped me understand Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come with freedom. He came with freedom. Because see, my problem was this. It always ministered to me that God told me to come boldly to his throne of grace. But my problem was this. How do I come boldly when I'm thinking the wrong thing and I know I'm thinking the wrong thing? How do I come boldly when I have the wrong attitude and I know I have the wrong attitude? It's like, meaning what it means to come boldly. Come with freedom to the throne of grace. What happens? You receive mercy. It's disarming. Mercy. Sympathetic understanding. And find grace to help in time of need, which he did. So, during trials and temptations is to depend upon the faithfulness of God. Another time is during times of satanic conflict. During times of satanic conflict. There are times, I mean, I can sin, you've heard me say many times, I can sin without the devil's help in just about any way. But sometimes I am wrestling with more than just my flesh. There is those fiery darts that are thrown at me. Scripture says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's schemes. So look to his faithfulness. God, would you point out the schemes? Sometimes there is a scheme that's operating that doesn't want your home to be in order, that doesn't want your marriage to have unity and oneness, wants to divide, wants to put an accusing spirit in your home, all those things. Now, we can do that without the devil's help, but sometimes we are dealing with, and so look to him to expose the schemes. Look to his faithfulness also, Lord. You want to give me your strength and your armor. Perhaps, maybe like many of you, the most principle that helps me every day of my life is just when I am tempted, whether it's my own flesh or the devil, to turn that into intercessions, and you're one of those that I turn an intercession for, praying for others. You'll get tired of saying no to something if you aren't saying yes to something else. But that principle, dear Gary Fraley shared that with me 40 years ago in that early morning Bible study that he used to have at 7:30 in the morning, and then various people would come, then we'd go to our various churches. But it was over, and he shared that little principle. And I've heard you, and I know many of you practice that. But he said this man on the West Coast was leading people to Jesus from some very difficult backgrounds. And he says, now that you've trusted Christ, you're going to be tempted to go back to those wrong choices. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to God and ask him to give you a prayer burden, a prayer request, that every time you're tempted to go back to that wrong choice, I want you to take it as a prompting to pray this prayer request that God gives you. And he says, I want it to be a prayer request that damages Satan's kingdom as God answers it. And it took me a little while to gather that in my life, but boy, that has been a great help to me. I always had heard the principle, take your temptations and turn them into conversations with God, and that's a great principle too. But here's taking that temptations and turning them into intercession for others. There, as I'm tempted and I'm weak, I know I have compassion for others in ways I would maybe pray for others out of pride, like, Lord, I've got it together, whip them into shape. But now you're able to pray with compassion when you pray from your weakness. So during times of satanic conflict, also another specific time to lean on God's faithfulness is when you suffer. By the way, the scripture from that is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But God is faithful, who will guard you from the evil one and strengthen you. Now this is, next one is 1 Peter 4:19. When you suffer for doing what is right. It says, when you suffer for doing what is right, Peter says, entrust your souls to a faithful Creator. When you suffer for doing what is right. As you look to Him when you're suffering, He'll show you. Lord, is there anything I need to adjust in my life? You want to rebuke the accuser. Not every when you're suffering doesn't necessarily mean you've sinned. Now I have the capacity also to bring suffering onto my life because I'm not suffering because of Christ. I'm suffering because of my own ungodly attitude or actions. But even if you are, you look to Jesus and He can deal, show you to do that. You need, when you're suffering, you need to look to His faithfulness to give you perspective. The sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to you. See, sometimes it's that perspective that you need. When you're wrestling with something, it may not be the only thing going on in your life, but in a moment in time, it seems like it's the only thing. It just begins to sit on you and rob you and getting away. And sometimes I've had to ask other people, would you pray I could just put this in perspective? So sometimes you need help. This momentary light affliction is producing for me an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. This momentary light affliction, I mean, seven chapters later when he lists all of his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, they don't look momentary. They don't look light. They look heavy and lifelong. But they're only momentary and light if you can see the comparison. Put it in perspective of eternity. We need His faithfulness to help us do that. I remember an individual I went to seminary with. He's walking with God now, and I praise God for that, but there was a temporary thing. He made some wrong thing, and he said, and it cost him to get out of the ministry for a short time. He said, if I just could have gotten away and gotten perspective, I know I could have done better. Most of us would. So we need that. We lose perspective, and so may God give us perspective. And as you're suffering too, you look to His faithfulness and say, God, what good do you want to work out of this? It was good for me that I was afflicted, the psalmist says, that I may learn your precepts. You know, we want to live by faith, or we want to be overcomers, but we resent it when God gives us something to overcome. God gives us sometimes those thorns in the flesh that give us that greater grace. Sometimes He gives us those things that open up God's Word to us. He gives us those things that say, boy, I have no choice but to look to You. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9, I have this thing was pressing upon me that I would know, so that I would no longer trust in myself, but in God. When you suffer for doing what right. When you're in need of cleansing is another time you lean upon God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9. We confess our sins, He is faithful. You don't have to worry about how He's going to respond. When you agree, when you're in agreement with Him, He will faithfully cleanse you and restore you. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness, maybe even what you're not even aware of. You just walk in the light before Him. Anything in your life, any way you need to be cleansed, He says, don't. Lift it up to Me. When you and I are in agreement, you can be joyful. So when you're in need of cleansing. Another time to lean on God's faithfulness, when you're thinking about the future. When you're thinking about the future. Like the words of 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. May God sanctify you body, soul, and spirit. Faithful is He who called you, who will also bring it to pass. Now he's talking about the ultimate future. May God sanctify your body, soul, and spirit. Faithful is He who called you, will also bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And you're thinking about the future. You see, here is what God tells us. he says, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The reason God says, don't be anxious for tomorrow, because you don't have the grace to handle it. Now, why don't you have the grace to handle it? Because this. See, when you're you think about something you're going through right now. And if I said, can you get through the next minute with that? You can. If that's too long, the next 5 seconds. That's all the grace you ever have to have. But when you think about this same problem and you start saying, okay, how can I get through this next week, this next month, this next year, this next lifetime? You don't have the grace to handle it. The reason you don't is because what you can't calculate is this. Every day God gives us that we wake up, His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So you can't calculate that because you haven't experienced it. You haven't experienced it. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Each day is enough trouble of its own. So when you're thinking about the future, and I'll give you one last one, especially for time, in the accomplishment of any task, leaning upon His, in the accomplishment of any task, think about something that you say, hey, this needs to be done today. This needs to be done. In the accomplishment of any task, Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. There was a time I had my prayer life, and don't have it this way now, but I had my prayer life divided up in different focuses each day. And one day I prayed for the task that I was involved in, my responsibilities and tasks. And I put that Psalm 37:5 on the top of it. I said, Lord, is there anything I'm trying to do that I haven't first surrendered to You and I'm not trusting You? I'm just taking matters in my own hands. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. I like Psalm 37:5. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns you. What concerns you? Commit it to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. And watch Him work. He'll show you what you're to do. He won't make you irresponsible. But you can't trust God with something you haven't fully surrendered to Him. Well, God, those are specific opportunities, those 8 opportunities that I see in Scripture. Of course, all of life is to depend upon the faith of God, but I like Him, appreciate Him highlighting those special times. And as you trust Him, let Him transform you. Remember, as we behold His glory, we transfer the glory to glory. Apostle Paul said, by the mercy of God, I'm a trustworthy man. It's the mercy of God has transformed me. Paul thought he was doing the right thing before he was Apostle Paul, when he was just persecuting the church. But God transformed him. God transformed him. Let Him transform you into a faithful person. You see, here's the thing. It is... Scripture says it's very, very rare to find a faithful and true person. Many a people proclaim they're trustworthy, Proverbs 20, verse 6, but who can find a trustworthy man? It's rare. It's rare. It's rare. Proverbs 20, verse 6. But you know what God says? The faithful disappear from among the sons of man, Psalm 12, verse 1. But if you let God build it in you, you know what will happen? Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4 says, it will give you favor before God and before man. It'll give you favor before God and before man. So it's a glorious thing to let, you know, here's the key. The key, you know what the key is? Little things. He who is faithful in little can be entrusted to much. Luke 16, 10. One of those little things is if you're faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, money, then God will give you true riches. Luke 16, 11. Little things, being faithful in money, little things. How we handle our money. That next verse is also instructive. Luke 16, 10 to 12. Being faithful in little things, being faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon will give you true riches. He also, being faithful in the use of that which belongs to another. That's what he says in Luke 16, 12. If you're faithful in what's another's, I appreciate trying to be a steward of this property that we rent. And sometimes that's the leadership. That's an example of that. I remember God using that Luke 16, 12. in the early, this was in the 80s, I was single and I had an apartment that I was living in, and I was home for the holidays, and it was during the cold of winter. Some of those 80s, early 80s were some real rough winters. I mean, I remember one day, I think it was 81 degrees below wind chill factor, way below actual temperature, but 81 degrees, minus 81 wind chill. And it was just, oh my, I think I was the first or second winter I was here. And I remember, but anyhow, I remember, now the apartment I lived in that time, the utilities were included. So you paid one price and you didn't worry about the heating bill or whatever. And I remember I was here, you read that verse, and I wasn't gonna, and you know, I had forgotten to turn my thermostat down because, you know, it didn't matter, you know, but I was gonna be gone for two. God used that verse for me to call the apartment complex, big rich apartment complex. But it wasn't that fancy. But I said, you know, go into my apartment and turn it down because I'm not going to be there. I never would have done that apart from that scripture. Being faithful in what belongs to another. Then he says, I can give you what does belong to you. So, well, trust him to make you into that. I praise God it's not just up to us. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Truthfulness, faithfulness. Open your life up to God's Spirit. He can make you into what I'm not. So, Galatians 5:22, he says, his blessing upon those who are truthful. His delight is upon those truthful. That's also two Proverbs. Proverbs 28:20 and Proverbs 12:22, his delight is upon those who act faithfully. His blessing upon those who, Proverbs 28:20. Now, in one survey, 90% of college students say they would cheat to get a job. I remember a young businessman coming up to me. Now, he was a believer. And he told me this. He says, you know, my boss does not even expect me to be totally truthful. And sometimes if I'm just a little bit over, you know, I could, it'll help me. And it'll help the company. And, you know, very briefly, I walked him out through these verses that I had on Proverbs. Here are the references. I'll just briefly share them and just read them. Proverbs 6. There are six things, Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven that are abomination to him. And he mentioned those. One of them is a lying tongue, verse 17. And verse 19, a false witness, Proverbs 6:19. There are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven. And he mentioned those, a lying tongue, a false witness. Proverbs 12:19. Truthfulness will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Truthful lips will be established forever. A lying tongue is only for a moment. That same chapter, Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Proverbs 12:22. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Proverbs 20. In verse 17, bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. I spoke of that one time, quoted that verse. A lady came up to me after the service who worked in real estate. She said, that really ministered to me, she said. She says, I know that in some cases, if I'm just a little bit false, it'll put money in my pocket. But this verse says what? It's sweet to a man, bread obtained by falsehood, but afterwards your mouth will fill with gravel. Proverbs 21:6. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. Proverbs 21:28. A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. And one last proverb, Proverbs 22:12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. You know, our whole culture was basically built on truth. Truthfulness. When you lose that foundation, it's hard. We didn't have to be so incredibly entangled in legals and lawyers, because what your word was, what it meant. You know, this dear businessman, he heard that. He says, I want to be a man of truth. I want to be a man of truth. It doesn't matter what my boss says. By the grace of God, I'm going to be a man of truth. But it's not just in the business world. Sometimes it's in talking to a pastor this last week when he was told to be just a little bit, why don't you just say that this is the reason? He says, that's not the reason. Yeah, I can't tell you all the details of that or whatever, but he was a truth teller. He said, no, I'm not going to incorporate with that. That's not true. Being a truthful person. Well, in conclusion, you know, just there's none of us that haven't lied. We all stand guilty before God. The question is, have I corrected past lies? Have I asked forgiveness and cleansing? So easy. Sometimes, do you exaggerate to get the approval of others? You know, one of the godliest men that Penny and I know, this last week he was saying, in the midst of an incredible revival in his church, where God's Spirit was just so powerfully working, they were saving people just every day or whatever, and 14 people had been saved the day before, and somebody came up to him and said, how many people were saved? He says, there was just like a whisper in him, why don't you tell them 15? You know, and now he says, that was a lie. He did, by the grace of God, he didn't. He recognized it. And there are other whispering boys, because, well, why would I tell him that, just to what? Buff me up as if I was the one who saved him. You know? But, you know, it's easy to exaggerate to get the approval of others. Make right any previous cheating. Most of us have had to do that. I have. You know, God's word is what? Put your ultimate trust in his faithfulness. Only he will not disappoint you. He is faithful. You know, I praise God for 2 Timothy 2:13. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. So our trust is in him, not in us. He also is faithful to forgive, to cleanse you from all unfaithfulness, which includes our times of lying and deceit and not being totally truthful. I like it says that he not only can forgive, it says he can heal our faithfulness, our lack of faithfulness is what I'm trying to say. Jeremiah 3:22. He can heal it. He's able to, because he's faithful, isn't that wonderful? He's able to guard what you entrust to him. Something means something to you, commit it to him. He's able to guard what you entrust to him. His faithfulness, I love that it says his faithfulness will endure to all generations. I praise God, some of us, as we're older, it says his faithfulness is going to extend to us even in our old age. You're young, that sounds theoretical. But I tell you, I praise God for this precious verse here, which I saw before my very eyes. God do it for my mother as she, Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. He says, listen, he's talking to God's people. You have been born by me from birth, okay? We got precious little ones that are totally dependent upon their parents for every move they make. And you've been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I'm going to be the same. Isn't that glorious? Because I saw my mother return to almost the helpless condition of a baby. And that was a challenge for my mother. My mother was a server. My mother, it was hard to do anything for her. She did everything for everybody else. As I told you, it's why I'm so helpless in the kitchen, because my job is to get out of the way. That's not the way it should be, but that's the way it was. And so it was humbling for her to. But even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you. I will bear you. I will deliver you. When you're that same helplessness of a baby, we can return to it, but God's going to be there. And so praise God. Praise God for that. These are just a collection of verses from the Psalms. It says, declare his faithfulness. Psalm 30, verse 9. Speak of it often. Psalm 40, and verse 9. Make it known every chance you get. Psalm 89, and verse 1. And declare it night and day. Psalm 92, 2. And the last one is not from Psalms, but tell it to your children. Isaiah 38, 19. God is absolutely faithful. He can be nothing other than that. He wants to build that in us. I like what Paul says, apart by the mercy of God, I'm a faithful man. He can make me into what I'm not. And we praise God that he will what cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It includes he can cleanse us from our faithlessness. Lord, thank you for being a God of truth. Thank you that you tell us you're able to guard what we entrust to you. We give our lives to you, dear God. We give all of our treasures to you, dear God. The treasures of our family, everything we are, we have, we commend to you. Thank you, you can look after it. We praise you. You said you'll never ultimately disappoint us. We worship you for that in Jesus' name. Even trust this time of sharing to you, dear God. And may your body work as it ought as we seek to encourage each other and carry each other's burdens. We pray this for the praise of Christ. Amen.